Recorded live from the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Pelias Pecans.
Awesome.
The Soft Verbal Podcast, your ticket to the latest, most accurate Ole Miss football recruiting information. No spin, no false hopes, just facts from the recruiting trail from RebelGrove.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Caution, you are about to enter the no spin zone.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
God, here we go again.
Welcome into the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. I am your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, Russell Johnson of RebelGrove.com, Rivals.com. You know Russ. That's why you're here. He will be with us. We'll answer your questions. Russ will answer your questions. I'll attempt to stay out of the way. And we'll talk about recruiting as National Signing Day is, as we record this, 2 weeks away. National Signing Day Part 2, traditional National Signing Day Part 2, is 2 weeks away. When you hear this, it'll be 13 days away. So we'll catch you up on what's happening, what isn't happening, what to look for, touch on some 2019 news as well. All of that in a minute. First, let me tell you about Billy's Pecans. At Billy's Pecans, they know the perfect crunch for every palate, whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, tokens of goodwill for a referral. Whether it's 5 to 5,000 orders, Billy's Pecans can handle it all with expertise and excellence with their signature Southern style and with items at every price point. You simply can't go wrong. Check out the assorted gift bag, 8 ounces each. They make perfect little hostess gifts or thank you gifts, or the best-selling party trio, which is any 3 pecan treats. Check that out. It's the pecans, the chocolate, for a sweet gift. Anything you want to do, they can customize your packaging with your company or organization's logo affixed as a sticker to their round boxes, so your brand is in the front of mind, and their decadent flavors are there to back it up. Homemade treats, easy ordering, professionally packaged, ship fresh and direct. It's the process of doing business with Billy's Pecans and more, and it couldn't be any more satisfying. Billy'sPecans.com, BillysPecans.com. Gifts at BillysPecans.com, or you can call Stacy or Bailey, 1-800-624-7404. Russell, how are you?
Doing good, doing good. This is the time of year where I could really use one of those Mophies where you can charge your phone on the go. It seems like my phone's dying every couple hours these past couple days.
Yeah, I would think your phone probably this time of year is not particularly happy. I can remember that time of year. I don't know that I ever did it as detailed as you do it, and you're covering, at least you tell me, a little bit of a, it's a transition class, even though it's not a full transition because they kept Matt, but it's a transition class.
Yeah, I mean, there's still been quite a bit of turnover on the staff, and a lot of coaches are still getting their feet wet in their territories that they're going to be recruiting going forward. So yeah, you could definitely say it's a, like you said, a transition class.
And then you throw in the fact that this is the first year that they had an early signing period, so now there's a second signing period, and all the emphasis that they're putting on 2019, the fact that, frankly, two or three of the people that they want to be on staff, that are set up to be on staff, are not yet on staff because of this prospect rule. Yeah. What's it called?
IAWP.
IAWP, which is, I understand when you read the legislation, I understand what the point of it was, but as usual with the NCAA, they made it way too complex.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you can still get away with hiring high school coaches. They just have to be in the on-field positions. Memphis hired Cordova's head coach, and what Illinois actually did last week was they hired, I think it's Trinity Catholic in Missouri, who has at least double-digit 3- and 4-star recruits the next couple of years. And they hired their head coach as an on-field position to try to help them in their recruitment for those guys. So, I mean, there's still the loopholes for the IAWP rule, and Ole Miss needs to get by that as soon as they can.
What is the latest there? I mean, I know a little bit. I'm curious what you're hearing as it pertains to, I mean, specifically with Austin Thomas. I know with Tyler Siski, Matt Luke's wanting to get those guys to Oxford as quickly as possible, not really because of the 2018 class.
No,
just let's face it, that most of that water is under the bridge at this point.
Yeah.
But they want to get moving on 2019 quickly.
Right, and they need to. With Austin, what his main thing is and what kind of people really enjoy about him and why he's so coveted in the industry is his organization and the way he's able to put things together and, you know, keep people in the right places. And, you know, obviously with compliance and everything with Ole Miss, you know, being able to know where coaches are and to have it registered correctly is something that he's going to be able to do, as well as communicating directly with prospects if he's able to get the waiver.
All right, so let's just some general stuff before we get into some of the specific questions on the board for you. As of this moment, if the commitments that they have stick, how many spots does Ole Miss have to work with here in the last 13 days?
9.
Okay. How many kids coming in this weekend?
Quite a few. Every one of the early signees that hasn't taken their official visit will be here this weekend. And obviously, you've got Elijah Moore on that list. You've got Jalen Cunningham on that list. Cam White from Madison Central. And then you've also got quite a few uncommitted prospects. You've got Hamilton Hall from Chamblee, Georgia. The staff has placed a real emphasis on him lately. You've got Miles Battle from Texas. He's been thought to be an Oregon lean. He was one time committed to Willie Taggart and company. And then you've also got Ja'Cory Hawkins, whose recruitment has kind of been interesting to follow because, you know, several schools kind of pushed him to not sign early, and he's been committed to Ole Miss for quite some time, even back when Luke was the intern. And it was thought that he and Tank were going to come on this visit together, and, you know, possibly Hawkins was going to steer Tank and his mom into, you know, signing with Ole Miss and staying close to home. But word came out yesterday that Tank's going to Texas A&M this weekend, and it kind of just threw everything for a loop. So Hawkins' commitment status is iffy at best. He visited Florida Atlantic last weekend, so it'll be interesting to see what happens and what the coaches tell him while he's here.
I don't know whether any of this pertains to Ole Miss or not. Ohio State lost a coach to the NFL today. Florida lost a coach. I'm not sure where he went, but he left.
Has it ever happened this much with college coaches jumping the NFL at such a major level?
It typically, when it happens, doesn't happen until after signing day.
Yeah, it's completely thrown everything for a loop to signing period and, you know, Black Monday. It's not even Black Monday anymore in the NFL. They fire coaches right after the game.
That's a good point.
I mean, it's just crazy how everything's shifted the past couple of years.
Things change.
Yeah.
So, any impact for Ole Miss from any of that, or are they
from the visitors this weekend,
or just the coaching changes around the country this week?
I mean, you could see, you know, a couple Ole Miss assistants. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if Ohio State calls Charles Clark. I mean, Charles Clark literally just started 2 weeks ago. And, you know, I mean, with his ability and his reputation in the market, he could get an offer, but he's, you know, quote unquote home, hashtag Mississippi made. So I don't really see him going anywhere.
That was good. He's quotes and hashtag in one sentence. That was good. All right. So let's get to some of the questions. C Strand wants to know any updates on the recruitments of the in-state 2019 kids. He refers to Pickering, Dean, Black, Hall, Turnage, etc.
There's going to be quite a few of them, weather pending, of course, in Starkville this weekend for a junior day, which Ole Miss obviously isn't too happy about. You know, they had a junior day planned where they were going to have at least 9 of the top 10 players in the state. Like I even ended up on the Oxford Exxon podcast, you know, previewing it, and the weather turned out bad, and they didn't end up having it. So Starkville's having theirs this weekend, Mississippi State is, and Coach Moorhead's really looking to gain some momentum. With Pickering, State's still in the lead, and there's obviously some other schools. The out-of-state schools are really trying to make an impact. Woodson at Auburn, since he took over and since he joined there from Memphis, has really placed an emphasis on the state of Mississippi, offering Jerrion Jones and Brandon Turnage from Lafayette. There's plenty of talent to go around in the state, and these schools are looking for them.
And typically, Mississippi kids don't leave, though.
That's what I've
State
heard.
State gets theirs. Ole Miss gets theirs.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen much.
You have like a variable, you know, the Nigel Knotts that go out maybe once every couple years. But, yeah, it's not as common as it looks like it could be going forward.
All right. Naples Believer wants to know, who does Ole Miss finish with at wide receiver, offensive line, and defensive line? And then I'll get to his other question in a moment.
You said wide receiver, offensive line, and defensive line.
Yep, the big uglies and receivers.
The offensive line, you know, I wasn't exactly shocked to see Garage show up this past weekend. The four-star from Florida who's committed to Florida, but is flirting with anybody who will talk to him. He was actually scheduled to visit Auburn, and he ended up canceling his visit. Well, they ended up canceling his visit due to the weather, quote unquote, in Auburn. And, but so, he, but he still was able to make it to Oxford, and they really feel like they made an impact there. I'm not ready to put him in a projected class. I'm still going to go with Hamilton Hall, the offensive lineman from Chamblee, and then probably the grad transfer.
And Hall got visited by Nebraska last night. Is that right?
Yeah, he's going to visit Nebraska next weekend after visiting Ole Miss this weekend.
Although I'm sure Ole Miss would like for him to not take the trip to Lincoln.
Yeah, they would. They would love if he, you know, would commit while he is in Oxford. And then you said at the wide receiver position, I'd have to go with Marquez Ezard. Miami's the one that's been trending publicly, but you know, everything I hear is that Ole Miss was able to get his dad on board during the visit, which was exactly what they were hoping for. And you know, it'll be interesting to see if Ezard actually does show up in Coral Gables this weekend.
Someone did a story on him. Maybe it was Chad Simmons.
Yeah, it was quotes. Chad. Yeah.
It's my, can I tell you my Twitter pet peeve, and it's one I suspect you share? I get tagged in those because I'm the publisher of rebelgrove.com, which is fine. Yet, it also allows me access to the creeps. If you're the guy out there that is lobbying a 17-year-old, 18-year-old boy about your school and you're not in the media, or if you're lobbying at all, whether you're in the media or not, you really should stop. You should take a step back.
You should. Yeah, that's definitely a pet peeve of mine. I get tagged in about 30 offers a day currently right now with the evaluation period going on.
And that's okay. And but then the lobbying, oh my God.
It's nonstop, especially Nebraska, Tennessee, Florida, and Florida State. Those are some of the worst.
Yeah, Nebraska's really bad.
Really bad.
Tennessee's really bad. Yeah. And then yesterday, Miami.
Yeah, there were quite a few of those.
Even the one where the guy comes back and he just goes, Kane. I always want to go, why do you do that?
Yeah, I've always wanted to know that as well. I think they kind of maybe get a rise out of it. Maybe they think that they're actually playing an impact in it, but who knows?
If they're having an impact, it's negative.
Yeah, I mean, like, why are you talking to this kid? Yeah, especially if his parents see that. Like, I don't know. I've never understood it.
It's creepy.
It is.
Then he wants to know how grad transfers affect numbers in 2019.
If you're getting a grad transfer in the class of 2018, he'll be gone and graduated and hopefully either in the NFL or his eligibility will be over before the class of 2019 matters. Obviously, he would have 1 year of eligibility. And you're talking about the offensive lineman from Cal. And he knows and the staff knows that if he comes to Ole Miss, he's going to play. And that's something that was really important to him. I talked to him earlier this week, and that was really his key. And what it's going to come down to for him and whether or not he goes to Ole Miss is whether or not he gets into the graduate program that he's interested in.
Referring to Dwayne Wallace?
Yes.
Where else is he looking right now? Is it
Florida?
Okay.
He's from Florida originally, and he's trying to plan a visit there, but last I heard, nothing was finalized.
Okay. Is he the only grad transfer that they're in on right now?
Offensively, yeah. There's a few defensively, but they haven't made anything public or offered anybody yet.
Okay. Kind of want to see how they finish in recruiting.
Yeah, they're not going to take a grad transfer linebacker and then sign 2 high school kids.
Right. Okay. Speaking of linebackers, C. Strand wants to know who of the current linebacker commits and or targets looks the most ready to contribute early.
Going towards this, I actually, you know, made a post earlier this week about, you know, what a raw linebacker is. Because, you know, everybody's talking about Jalen Moody and, you know, how he should be higher than a 2-star when just last week he wasn't rated. And what I did is I went through, I watched his sophomore, his junior, and his senior season at Conway High School in South Carolina. And I wanted to see how he progressed and what he was doing. And what it comes down to when you have these raw linebackers who either don't have the experience or, you know, no offense to the coaches in Conway, but he might not have the coaching. And what he does is he goes off of his instincts, and his instincts get him in trouble. He played a team in the state playoffs just this past year, and they ran the triple option. And when you run the triple option, obviously there's quite a bit of misdirection. And with all of the misdirection, what a raw linebacker will do is they'll follow their instincts. They won't stay in their lane. They won't keep the game plan steady as it was before. And when that happens, you know, usually you're in the wrong spot. And as tough as you are, as hard of a hitter as you are, if you're not getting to the ball carrier, none of that matters.
Yeah, Ole Miss fans be familiar with that. They heard a whole lot about fit over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Gap integrity, fit. It's important.
Yeah, and I mean, with the linebacker position, like you were asking me, they really expect Jaquez Jones from Hillcrest to, you know, come in and make an impact. He signed in December, and he will be someone that they're looking forward to seeing in the fall. Vernon Dasher, the JUCO linebacker from Coffeyville.
He has to play.
He has to.
Whether he's ready or not.
Yeah, we're interested to see what he does in the spring.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter. He has to play.
Yeah, and Hess. I think Hess, the linebacker from Vestavia who signed in December as well, had some late offers from Missouri and Vanderbilt. I think you could see him end up playing defensive end as much as people hate to see it. I mean, with his frame, he's close to 6'5". You put some weight on that and watch him get to the passer. Might actually be able to be more effective than, you know, playing outside linebacker like he did in high school.
Did Summerall recruit him at Troy?
No.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Well, along those lines, good question, actually. I didn't even plan for this transition, but it works. KM Reb wants to know, what type of player is Summerall looking for when he's recruiting linebackers? Preferred size, speed, etc. We'll start there.
That's a tough question. You know, he's been on the job, what, 24 hours?
Yeah, I mean, he's been here a day, 2 days. Come on.
His first in-home visit was with Jaden McDonald from North Gwinnett, who I think really fits exactly what he's looking for. Kind of a outside linebacker type of role, but what Summerall excels in is evaluating and, you know, getting the most out of his kids. Obviously, all of the accolades and everything he won at Troy, his defenses were ranked highly, and with that, you know, he comes with a reputation in Oxford, and that's exactly what Ole Miss is hoping to get out of him. But like you were asking me about him recruiting, his recruiting and who he's going after really isn't that well known currently.
I'll answer this because I have no idea about John Summerall and what kind of linebacker he wants.
Yeah.
But I suspect John Summerall, who played at Kentucky, which is in the SEC, and has been in SEC country the majority of his life, I suspect he knows the following. You have to have speed at linebacker in this league.
You can't just have tough.
Period.
Yeah.
I don't care how hard you hit people. Yeah. I don't care how much you arrive in a bad mood and all of the crap that everybody talks about. You have to have speed in this league to play linebacker. Ole Miss has had a problem because they don't have enough fast linebackers over the years. You have to have speed. So that's why I'm alarmed, like when – I don't want to call a kid out. There's a kid on the team right now who got some recruitment and stuff, but he's too slow to play linebacker at the SEC level. And so when people compare a kid on film to that kid, I go, whoa, is he that slow? Because if he's that slow, it doesn't matter how smart he is. It doesn't matter how tough he is. It doesn't matter how gritty he is. He's too slow.
Yeah, if you don't have speed, you don't have anything in the SEC, especially a linebacker.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's simple as that.
Quite frankly, defensively in this league, at just about every spot, including defensive tackle, you either have to have great quickness up front, like that quick twitch where you run 10 yards really fast, or you have to be able to run, or it's not going to work.
No, and you'll see that on the field if that's what happens.
Yeah, I've seen it. They've seen it.
Yeah.
What type of what's the typical relationship like between a coaching staff and a recruit's handler? It's ass kissing. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then what all happens on an official visit?
Oh goodness. At Ole Miss, they do all kinds of things. You know, you've got the jersey photo shoot, which everybody does and gets them all hyped up, the coaching staff, the players, the parents, and play the music, and everybody sits and they hang out. Obviously, they end up at either the library. Is it the Levy or the Levy?
The Levy.
Yeah, they usually end up there on either Friday or Saturday.
I usually go there on Friday nights. I go there a lot and hang with my peeps.
You check out how they're looking on the hoof?
Yeah, I like to watch dance competitions.
And you know, sometimes I believe in the past what they've done is they would actually take kids to the FedEx in Memphis, wouldn't they?
I don't think they can.
Oh, they can't?
No, I don't think you can.
Oh, I could have swore that's something that they used to do at least.
Yeah. Back 30 years ago, they took them to a couple of clubs in Memphis, but that led to some problems.
I bet. Yeah, and obviously, you know, they take them to eat in Oxford, take them to Ajax, quite a few. That's actually where Dasher made his commitment to Pavito, was at Ajax. And you know, they do that. They go out. They hang out with the coaches. And then right before they get on their planes or their however they're getting back to their hometowns, they have a meeting with Coach Luke in his office. And Luke normally, you know, asks the question, are you ready to commit? And they'll either say yes or they'll say no. And whether or not it goes public or not is to be determined.
How many private commitments do they have right now?
Three.
Okay.
I don't like talking about those. I learned my lesson real quick.
Yeah, no, you don't talk about it. I was curious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually private commitments, the stickability of those is not high.
No,
they're private for a reason.
Yeah, you've got kids who silently committed to three or four schools at the same time.
Laramie Tunsil. That happened with Laramie Tunsil. Man, I've got a cough. I'm sorry.
You and Chase, man, both you guys are fighting some kind of sickness.
Yeah, yep. It's one of the reasons the Tunsil thing was so emotional for people, seriously, is that Laramie was committed to a lot of schools.
What was it, Georgia and who else?
Yeah, Georgia. I think he basically kind of told Alabama, hey, I'm coming. He probably told Florida State, hey, I'm coming. People thought he was coming.
Yeah.
Those same people disregarded Ole Miss because they just didn't think Ole Miss was in it, but Ole Miss was in it big time.
I remember that recruitment very well.
It was one of those deals. That's why people got their feathers ruffled.
Yes, they got their Johnsons rustled.
They did. They did got their Johnsons rustled. All right, we're talking about linebackers and safeties. Naz, it's always good to have a star who follows us so closely on the site. Naz wants to know, so who do they close with at linebacker and safety? What do you think today?
Linebacker, I'm Jaden McDonald from North Gwinnett, and I wouldn't be shocked to see them, you know, try to get in on Aaron Brewer. It's either Brewer or Brule from Louisiana, linebacker who visited Arkansas last weekend and was a target for Sumrall when he was at Troy, kind of before he blew up. And it's safety, you know, right now I'm literally on the fence with Cam Jones between Nebraska and Ole Miss. Some people tell me Nebraska, some people tell me Ole Miss. A lot of people in his corner want him to go to Ole Miss. A lot of people in his family want him to go to Nebraska. So that's the tough situation. And then, meanwhile, while he's making...
And he's an impact kid, right?
Yeah, Jones? He's the four-star Rivals 250 safety. Yeah. From
he looks the part. I mean, I've actually seen some of his film and stuff. He looks like he could play tomorrow.
Wait, Neil McCready was watching film?
I did. I watched the ones that become, like, interesting.
Yeah,
I'll go pull up some of their plays just to check them out, believe it or not.
Yeah, I mean, Jones played really well this season, and Nick Kruger, our Texas analyst, thinks really highly of him.
Yeah.
But like I was saying, while Cam Jones is making his announcement on Saturday evening at about 6:30, I believe it is, Joe Fuscia from Louisiana will be on
campus.
He's
the kid that visited Arkansas last weekend.
Yes, he's an Arkansas lean.
Look at me, you impressed?
Yeah, I'm shocked.
There you go.
He's going to be on campus while he makes his decision, and it's going to be really interesting to see how much they turn the heat up.
So he doesn't really have an offer today?
Right now? Like if he wanted to commit to Ole Miss, no.
But at 6:31 on Saturday, that could change.
That could change, and they could be all over him all night.
Let's say, because I can hear the people asking this question. So let's say Jones goes to Nebraska. He holds his little announcement thingy and – the Nebraska Cornhusker person pops out of his cake and they pass out red and white balloons and it's all Huskers and he's a Husker. How much ground does Ole Miss have to make up on a kid like Fuscia? Are his feelings hurt a little bit that he's a backup? Or is he realistic and knows, hey, this is business and this is the way this works?
I mean, you would think he would think that it's a business. He was an Auburn lean earlier on. He wanted to go to LSU. Really, really wanted to go to LSU like every Louisiana kid does. LSU kind of told
him.
Not
this one.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
It's not going to happen. But what he would have to, you know, consider is whether or not he would want to go to Arkansas or Ole Miss. I've never been to Fayetteville. I live in Oxford, so I'm not sure what the differences are between the towns. And
they're
really,
both nice towns.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't really think any of that matters. I think it matters.
They both have great facilities and all that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about, you know, playing time with him. And people, this is going to shock you a little bit, people consider him a little bit of a Bob Sanders because he's about 5'11", under 200 pounds, and he's a safety, which kind of scares people, some coaches, which I think is why Auburn kind of backed out, but they took Harold Joyner, so... I mean, it depends. It's all up to what the coaches prefer. Like you were asking, though, about him making up ground in Ole Miss. Ole Miss would have some ground to make up. It's going to come down to whether or not he's got an ego. Arkansas wants him. Arkansas is pushing for him. Arkansas has a very limited number of spots.
And this will come a moment where I will start to say Bielema, but it won't be him. It will not be him. There'll come a moment where Morris will say, hey, we got to know.
Yeah.
Got to know now.
I wouldn't be surprised if he does that Friday before he gets on the plane.
If I were him, that's what I would do.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
They want him.
Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of coaches do. I mean, I know a lot of coaches do that.
Yeah,
but
makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. They don't like other kids taking other visits, especially if they're silently committed somewhere.
Sure. I like how you dropped that in. I feel like I know something now. The Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans is also brought to you by Fidelity Mortgage agent John Benelli. John's been in the mortgage business for 13 years. He has extensive experience in conventional loans, FHA loans, USDA rural development loans, VA loans, and bond loans. John specializes in home mortgages and loan services in the Jackson-Flowood area, but he services the entire state of Mississippi from condos in Oxford to vacation homes on the coast and all points in between. I've known John a long time. You can trust me. John's going to take great care of you. He is going to make sure you get a deal that you will be pleased with. Now and down the road. You can contact John at fidelitymort.com. That's fidelity, M-O-R-T.com. Or call him at 601-842-9764. Fidelity Mortgage, LLC, NMLS, 1039190. Today's show is also brought to you by the Storage Acquisition Group. The Storage Acquisition Group is an industry-leading expert at identifying and acquiring strategically located storage facilities throughout North America and beyond. As the preferred buyer for one of the largest owners of self-storage in the world, Director Monty Spencer and his team have upended the acquisitions market by giving facility owners a new avenue to divest. How exactly can self-storage facility owners benefit? Well, it's simple. The group buys direct and charges no commission or fees. Their free, no obligation evaluation even means that you can get a comprehensive picture of your property's value without the need to commit. If you're thinking, yeah, but I don't own a self-storage facility, I was just enjoying the podcast. Well, then listen to this. Even if you're not an owner, you can benefit too. The Storage Acquisition Group's buyer has a generous referral program in place for referrals that lead to a closed transaction. Visit www.thestorageacquisitiongroup.com to find out more. All right, last few minutes here. We didn't get as much of it as we usually get. Some kids bumped in the Rivals 250. Some kids fell a little.
Yeah, I was a little surprised Elijah Moore fell, but, you know, hey.
What do you feel about 9 spots?
Yeah.
In other words, just some kids moved ahead of him.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. That's what it was more so. And Matt Corral ended up being the number 3 pocket pro-style passer in the country when they redid the position rankings today. He was number 3 before, but there was what happened was JT Daniels reclassified from 2019 to 2018.
Yeah.
So technically, Corral rose up a spot because he rose. I don't remember exactly the quarterback he jumped up ahead of. But what happened was obviously Daniels is the number 2 quarterback in the country, and Trevor Lawrence is still number 1.
So Rivals just hates Ole Miss, is that what you're saying?
No. I'll let you. You can totally die on that hill.
I'm totally kidding. No, I think people that listen to me know I don't buy that at all. I don't. I know those guys, even the guys that people don't like. Mm-hmm. Their agenda is to get it right.
Yeah,
they want to get it right.
Exactly.
And and the people that are really focused on this part of the country, Rob Cassidy and Woody Womack and Nick Kruger and those guys, they don't give a damn about the individual schools. They care. They care about getting it right.
And Woody really enjoys tweeting out the Rivals profiles of all the 5 stars playing in the national championships, getting drafted in the NFL,
yes. NFL. Yes.
It gets Rivals good exposure, and it shows that, you know, Rivals is doing the right thing.
Yes, that's their agenda. Yeah. I'm just gonna flat tell you that. I know those guys personally. You do too, and that's the whole. They're manipulating. Nope. I'll tell you this again. He's the one I always use. If Rivals was manipulating rankings to support the big sites, Nebraska would always finish in the top 3 in the Rivals recruiting rankings every single year.
I've looked at their message board a few times. It's pretty wild over there.
Huge numbers is my point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just this deal's not Texas would always every single year be in the top two or three in the rivals recruiting rankings.
Charlie Strong would probably still have a job in that case.
How do kids place themselves on the grad transfer market? Really just kind of put feelers out.
They put feelers out and they use a notes app on Twitter, tweet it out, start following a bunch of college coaches. You can kind of see that. And depending on whether or not someone follows back, they'll either, you know, initiate contact. I believe the kids have to initiate the contact with grad transfers, don't they?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they initiate the contact with the coaches. And then, you know, quite a few grad transfers will get kind of desperate and they'll start going on websites and they'll email like a large collection of college coaches just to see what they can get.
Sure. What's the, as of today, we're taping this 2 weeks. By the time 2 weeks from right now roll around, signing day will be over. It will be wrapped up. What's the floor and ceiling of this class from a ranking standpoint, in your opinion, today?
The ceiling is in the top 23, 25.
Wow, okay.
And the floor, I'd say, is about 35.
Okay.
It really just depends. I mean, at the running back position, they're kind of in a situation where if they don't get Charles Strong, the running back who visited A&M last weekend, they're probably just not going to take one, and then they could opt to take another offensive lineman. They could opt to take another defensive lineman. They could take the JUCO from Arizona Western. They could take Noah Jefferson, and then that kind of soften their desperation with Fab Lovett. Or what they could do is they could take another linebacker, and then you've got the situation at cornerback and safety with Hawkins and the possibility of adding Cam Jones or Joe Fusha. So there's so many variabilities and things going on that, like I said, the 35 and 25 is probably the ceiling and the floor.
Strong's kind of a big one cut back, isn't he?
Yeah, he was committed to Florida State for quite some time, and everybody thought with him going to College Station to see his good friend Jimbo Fisher that he would jump back in his boat and be the guy. But A&M's decided to go with, I think his name's Denerick Pierce, who has been committed to A&M for a little while now, and they're going to roll with him.
Here is my broomstick once. It's a really general question. Your outlook of this staff's recruiting efforts going forward. Kind of hard to say, isn't it? I mean, it looks like it's pretty good recruiting staff.
Yeah, I think it is. Longo's really, really – he got his feet wet a little bit, and then he dove straight in with the Matt Corral stuff. That was impressive, what he was able to do with that. You know, kind of coming from Sam Houston State, it took a little while. He upset a couple people when he first got here, you know, leaving early and evaluating quarterbacks and not taking the proper time to, you know, make the trip certain places. But he's really mended those fences, and he's done a good job. And obviously, Derek Nix is still doing his job, and Peeler's continuing to rack up what he's been able to do. Signed 2 4-stars in December, probably going to sign 2 more in February. And then on the defensive side,
he's an elite recruiter.
Yeah,
obviously. Yeah.
And Bicknell's kind of gotten his feet wet as well. He's really starting to understand what's going on. Coming from the NFL, I'm sure it was a little bit of an adjustment period.
Sure.
Roach is recruiting the state of Alabama and recruiting it well and recruiting his position well. He's the number one guy on Lovett right now.
Here's the thing they're going to be able to sell in the next 12 months. Playing time.
Every position. Other than quarterback right now, but
playing time.
Yeah.
And for elite kids, that's really attractive. That's the big blinking sign that says,
yeah, you're playing in the SEC, you're on the TV every week. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can sell playing time because they're going to have, and they won't have the whole bowl ban thing going forward. That bowl ban's not impacting this class, and it's not impacting the 19 class at all.
No, not at all. And I think that's something that doesn't get – well, I mean, it gets talked about quite a bit, but it's going to change. It's changed so much just since December. Recruits' mindsets on Ole Miss when they have offers, I don't ever hear any type of uncertainty. They're like, I look forward to learning more about it and getting on campus.
Worst part of NCAA investigation and the worst part of impending penalties is the unknown. Because people tell the other kids, hey, they're going to get hit with the 17-year bowl ban. They're going to get shut down. And there's not much you can do to say, no, that's not true, other than to say, well, that's ridiculous. But you can't say, look, we're not going to get hit.
Yeah, there was an article that came out yesterday that Nebraska site, obviously, talking to Cam Jones about a 2-year bowl ban at Ole Miss. And everyone was like, no, no, no. And he ended up clarifying it on Twitter with quite a few Nebraska fans who continued to go at him and were like, you can't go to Ole Miss. You'll never play in a bowl game. And then a couple Ole Miss fans kind of chimed in and were like, well, did Nebraska play in one last year? It's always fun to keep track of sometimes.
Yeah. All right. Last one. WF Brown 10 wants to know, does Ole Miss land Benji Davis Franklin, Marlon Character, and or Rashawn York from the JUCO ranks?
The three JUCO kids. I think York goes to Kansas State. He's visiting there this weekend. He's a backup plan to a backup plan. The linebacker that Ole Miss offered today, Taj Williams from Georgia, I think he's actually ahead of the JUCO linebacker on the board, so it would take quite a bit for him to be a take at Ole Miss, and I kind of think he sees the writing on the wall there. And with that, like I said, I think he's going to end up at Kansas State. Benji Franklin was leaning towards Auburn for quite some time, and Auburn's just kind of, they canceled his official visit, and there really hasn't been much interest there.
They got full.
Yeah. So it's
what happens with him. Is Ole Miss taking him?
I don't know. If they want a JUCO corner, they will. But I don't understand at that position why you would add a JUCO corner. You've got so many underclassmen. And
my take on this is not going to be popular. I'm Ole Miss, given their current situation, I'm not taking JUCOs.
No.
I'm taking my lumps with high school kids. We're going to grow together. It's not like basketball or something where they got to play right away. I'm bringing kids in. I'm not worrying about W's and L's right now as much as other people are. I get it. They go, well, you're not a fan and all that stuff. I get it. I get the emotion of wanting to win. I'd rather build base in my program. I would not do a lot of JUCO stuff. I get the temptation to do it. I understand it. I just wouldn't do it.
Unless you can guarantee that they're going to make an impact. And they're going to be there for 2 years, and that's it.
And that it's a quick impact.
Yeah. And then Marlon Character, the safety from Northwest, he has to get an offer. What it's going to take is they're going to have Fusha on campus this weekend. If Cam Jones goes to Nebraska, they'll probably call.
But the fact that he doesn't have an offer yet tells you that he's probably not an impact guy. And it doesn't mean that he's not a great kid or that he's not going to be But if you bring in the kid that has to sit next year to develop, and then he only has 1 year.
Yeah.
See, that's where I go, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to bring in the kid next year who has to sit next year to develop and then has 4 years.
Yeah.
It's like if you're running a baseball team. If you're running a baseball team and you're the Braves, okay, you're the Braves, got all these good young players, you got a shot down the road. You don't have a shot next year. So if I'm the Braves, am I spending money on a 35-year-old third baseman to come in and, on a 3-year deal? Well, hell no. Now, do I sign one maybe to come in on a 1-year deal? Come in 1 year on an affordable? Sure, why not? Go for it. You can come play, and then if you're good, we'll move you at the deadline, and we'll shake your hand and we'll pat you on the butt and say great, thanks, appreciate you, and we'll add another kid to the. But you don't go all in on JUCO guys unless it's. Like say 3 years from now, if you're the Braves and you're one pitcher away from, okay, we're a contender. Okay, well now, yeah, do you overpay for a Gusher? Absolutely.
Yeah, you throw the bank at Yu Darvish.
You do.
Yeah.
But if you're the Braves today, you're not in on Yu Darvish. You're not in on Jake Arrieta today, because by the time you're ready to contend, you don't know where they're going to be. And so from a football analogy, I'm only getting a JUCO if I, let's say I have, if I'm Ole Miss and I have a like they did with running back. You have a need at running back, and you have a guy that you believe can impact you right away.
Yeah.
Awesome. If I have to develop a JUCO for a year, nope. Right. Not right now.
Yeah.
For what?
Exactly. The only JUCO I see that's still on their board that I could see them, you know, taking in that role like you were talking about is Noah Jefferson. He's rated a 4-star. He's the top 20 national JUCO guy on our ratings and is a JUCO All-American.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, something like that, yeah.
So the guy that you anticipate can come in and play.
Yeah, he would probably start the moment he walked into Oxford.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah.
But the whole development guys, that's where I eat the scholarship before I even spend it. I just eat it.
That's why you let Kansas State have those kids and those kind of schools.
All right, we will we'll get you on the Oxford Exxon podcast on Friday morning. By then, things probably will have changed a little bit.
Yeah, you'll get a we should have a much better feel of who's actually going to show up on campus this weekend. Might have a couple surprises. Not 100% sure yet.
You know, there's a chance of rain.
Oh, goodness.
Could rain. So that could really change things this weekend. Some rain Saturday night.
What are they going to do?
I don't know. Salt the roads? Shut it down? I don't know.
There's still salt on my sidewalks as I walk by.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, no one's going to go and sweep it up.
Well, you never know what's coming.
Stay prepared, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Russell, thanks for the time. We'll get you back on Friday, and then we'll reconvene here next week for another edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. We'll be just a week away from National Signing Day, and we'll catch you up on all of the goings on as the literal final push occurs. So for Russell Johnson, I'm Neil McCready. That does it for this edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. Take care.